Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 2. The title of my message is Samuel Left at a Dangerous Place. Samuel Left at a Dangerous Place. I want to look at verse 11. We'll read through verse 17 of this passage of Scripture as we consider Samuel left in a place of danger. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in the seething, in other words, was in the cooking pot, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it in the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer and say, Nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Notice down, please, in verse 2. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I think you can see from this that Samuel was taken to a place that was dangerous. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you might work in our hearts and lives. Lord, sometimes we have misgivings and misunderstandings about life. We think things are one way when in reality they may be very different from that. Lord, I pray that we might have discernment, that we might have the wisdom that only comes from knowing your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us today, that we might learn some of the powerful lessons that are contained in this passage of Scripture. That little Samuel is left behind at the tabernacle in a very dangerous place. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. After reading verse 11, if you were to stop there, it may sound that Samuel was being left in a place of protection and shelter. After all, it was the tabernacle of God. You would think that that's going to be a place of surely of protection, shelter, and security and spiritual instruction. The tabernacle should have been such a place, but it wasn't. It should have been a place of protection. It should have been a place of shelter. It should have been a place of strong spiritual training and teaching. But it was not, because Eli was in charge. And the fact that he was in charge, he allowed things to happen in the tabernacle that were in direct violation of the Word of God. And we need to see this as we study. First of all, we're going to look at the evil character of Eli's son. But I want you to be reminded of the fact, and we're going to develop this, that Hannah and her husband Elkanah left Samuel in this particular situation where he would grow up in it, he would have to deal with it, and it was not what we would call a place of protection and security. It was in a difficult place. The evil character of Eli's sons are mentioned in verse 12. And the sons of Eli were sons of, everybody say that word please, Belial. Now, what does Belial mean? Well, Belial was a male pagan sex god. And the phrase refers to a worthless, morally depraved, wicked individual. Whenever that name, and you'll find that throughout the Bible, that a son of Belial or the use of the name Belial there, it was a name that indicated the character of the individuals that bore that title. This was a significant problem because the sons of Eli were in line to succeed him as high priest, and they were already functioning in the role of priests there at the tabernacle. We're told also that they did not know God. Look at the end of verse 12 there. They knew not the Lord. Now look at the name of the Lord. It's all caps. In the Hebrew, that's a tetragrammaton. It's four Hebrew letters. In Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but what I've been told, I sat in on a Hebrew class in India with Dr. Chirion. I learned a lot during that time. And one of the things that he taught in that class is that most Hebrew words are three letters long. They'll have special markings and so forth to indicate pronunciation, because that changes the meaning of a word too. But they mostly have three letters except for the letters of deity. And they have four letters. All right? And so a tetragrammaton, tetra meaning four, grammaton is an indication that this is a name of God. And by the way, this particular one, Lord, with all caps, is the highest name in the Old Testament. It's the name of Jehovah. They knew not Jehovah, Yahweh, as he's known. They did not know him. They were devoid. Now, we learn that they're in the ministry and that they are what? They are priests. So surely, when they were growing up, they learned about Jehovah. They learned about the service of Jehovah. They were involved every day of their lives in some type of ministry, but this is what God says of them. They knew not the great God, Jehovah. Now, where are they? Where are they? This is important. Don't blur through the Scripture and just move on to the next part. Where are they? They're in the tabernacle of Jehovah. And they don't know God. Now stop for just a moment. Let's learn something together. Is it possible that a person could live and breathe and grow up in the tabernacle and not know God? The answer is yes. Is it possible? Let's move it into the future. Here we are today, 2019. Is it possible to come to church and to be a part of the church and go to Sunday school and go to youth group and go to all the services of the church and not know Jehovah God? The answer is the same to the previous question. Yes. That makes this place dangerous. Now, what do I mean by that? I say, Pastor Todd, I don't understand that. This is supposed to be a haven. This is supposed to be a place of helps. This is supposed to be a place where everything is honoring to God. Yes, that's our desire. But that has nothing to do with the fact that it's a dangerous place. Do you realize that the upper room where Jesus was the night in which they took sop, they had the Passover, was the most dangerous place in Jerusalem that night? Who was lurking there, we're told? Two different passages of Scripture tell us that Satan was there. Satan was there. Lord Jesus spoke to Peter and said to him, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. You're going to be sifted tonight by Satan, and you're going to deny me. Oh Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. But whenever the cock crowed, Peter remembered what Jesus said in the upper room, that dangerous place. Satan hath desired to sift you. And he was sifted and he came out wanting. But we're also told that in the upper room, Jesus said, and I have prayed for you. Isn't that wonderful? That you will be converted. and that you will follow me." You see, folks, that upper room was a dangerous place. Jesus was there, yes. But who else was there? Satan. We're also told in the upper room that Satan, after Judas had supped, he had partaken of the meal, he had dipped his unleavened bread in the sop and he had eaten that. The Bible says after he had done that, that Satan entered into him. I want to tell you something about the upper room. It was a dangerous place. Even though Jesus was right there with them, it was a dangerous place. I love Christian education. I've been involved in Christian education for all my life. I'm so thankful that I was born and raised here in Milton, Florida, and that my mom and dad got saved and started taking us to church over at Baghdad. That's where I first started Sunday school. I remember climbing the steps and going up. I was little at the time. But I remember climbing up the steps to go to Miss Hall's Sunday school class. And I remember faintly some of the services. I was just small at the time. But my mom and dad made sure we were there at church. And because of the fact that in 1962, Santa Rosa Christian School was formed, I got to go to Christian school all my life. Now, my parents had to sacrifice to send. They had to work hard to send three kids through Santa Rosa Christian School. But I want you to know this. Christian school is just as dangerous as the upper room was that night. What are the dangers of a Christian school? What are the dangers of a church? The dangers are twofold, I think. And we see this borne out by Eli and the way that he allowed things to go on in the tabernacle and so forth. Number one, we have no indication anywhere that Eli ever prayed for his boys. And number two, we see what kind of parenting that he gave to his two boys. When you read verse 22, he said, "Well, why do you do these things?" He didn't say, "Stop." He didn't say, "Get out of this tabernacle." He didn't say, you're offending Almighty God. He just said this, "Why are y'all doing these things? Why are you doing these things?" Wrong question. Wrong question. He wasn't praying and he wasn't parenting. And as a result, his boys and himself would pay the ultimate price. Do you see that? When we get into that passage of Scripture, the Bible records it for us. Because God's going to take those three off the scene so Samuel can what? Thrive. He can thrive. He had to grow up. He had to spend some years there in that wicked place where sin was tolerated, where wickedness was done in the name of Jehovah, where, as we see in this passage of Scripture, instead of the food or the meat that was being sacrificed to God. We're going to look at all the different parts of this because it was a complete denial of Jehovah and what they were doing. All this was going on and it was going to influence Samuel. And God said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this whole thing and I'm going to clean it off the scene so this boy can thrive." I want you to think for just a moment. Your home can be one of the most dangerous places. You know how many people have grown up in a Christian home and denied God and died without Him? It can be a dangerous place. Very dangerous place. To hear the truth and to walk away from it means that your torments in hell will be much greater. You know, the Bible makes that very clear. That those that had light will endure greater punishment for their sin. How great is their darkness, the Bible says. In other words, God's going to mete out the punishment of those that heard about Christ, who lived around Christ, who sat in the tabernacle and heard all the glories of God and Jehovah. But they were in a dangerous place and they walked away from the truth. Folks, this is serious business. Hannah and Elkanah drop that boy off at a place that should have been a safe place. But it was a dangerous place because God was not honored. I saw a video recently. Somebody sent it to me. And I tapped onto it. It was on Facebook. It was of a snake climbing a telephone pole. Did you know that snakes can climb? I remember coming out of church one time. We had a snake out here, one of the black snakes, crawling the wall. Made it all the way and hit up in the thing up there. Now, it's gone now, so don't be going out there, you know. I can see Dr. Watt doing special ops out there after church today. Yeah. But I watched this video. And you know what was at the top of the pole? A bird in her nest. And you watch the snake go all the way up to the top of the pole, and then he gets real slow at the top. And then all of a sudden you see the strike. He grabs the bird, pulls it down, and starts making his way down the telephone with this bird wriggling in its mouth. Now, I said, this is a perfect illustration. A perfect illustration. What did that bird think? I'm on top of a 45-foot pole. I am what? Safe. Right? Wouldn't we all think that? I'm on top of the pole. I'm away from all the varmints down below, she thought. But climbing up that pole was a serpent. By the way, isn't it interesting that God calls Satan the serpent? That old serpent? Okay? Said that he is very, very wily. He uses deceit. That snake didn't make one noise as it was making its way up the telephone pole. And I watched the video, and it gets up there, and then it just begins to coil itself backward. And there's the bird, just up there, enjoying the weather. I am safe! Bam! Dead. Not safe. On top of a pole, 45 feet in the air. A snake found it and got it. I want to tell you something, Christians. You better not be naive. You might think you're safe. I got my ticket to heaven. I'm safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Oh, how we love to sing that. And we're sitting up on top of our pole. I'm safe! You're in danger. You're in danger. We live in a world of danger. What did Jesus say to Peter that night in the upper room? Satan hath desired to sift you. Jesus said that. Was it only Peter? Is he the only one in all of humanity that Satan ever desired to sift? I'm here to tell you, no. He wants to get us. He wants your children. He wants you. He wants you to be ineffective for God. He wants to tempt you in any way that he can. He's an angel of light. He comes to church too. Church can be a dangerous place. Your home can be a dangerous place. The Christian school classroom can be a dangerous place when we get careless. What could that bird have done to prevent itself? I don't know. You would think 45 feet up in the air, pretty safe, unless another, you know, eagle comes along and attacks or something like that. We're pretty safe up here. The bird was unaware of the quiet, wily work of that snake making its way up the telephone pole. Totally unaware. In the video, you see the bird chirping. Just making its noise, singing away. Everything's all right. Everything's good. When I came to church this morning, we have a mockingbird that every year we have mockingbirds that live out here in the azaleas. And a lot of times whenever I come park my truck, the mockingbird will make its way down and sit up on my hood. Well, this morning when I got in, on this telephone pole out here was a mockingbird. And it was just making all of the mockingbirds, so they imitate and mimic all the other birds. Beep, 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 beep. And I said, "Good morning, Mr. Mockingbird. Watch out for snakes." Because I watched the video. Watch out for snakes. Now, I don't think that bird paid any attention to me. Just kept right on. Beep, 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 beep. Now, mockingbirds make all kinds of racket. That's the state bird of what state? Florida. Good. We got some folks paying attention. Yeah. The mockingbird. Up there just singing away on Sunday morning. I want to tell you something, folks. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be with the Lord and to have the comfort that comes, but He also warns us. He also warns us to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And I'm afraid today that we're not doing that. We're not putting the armor on. We don't think there's a battle. We don't think there's a war going on. I've got Jesus. And that's as deep as our faith is. You're not listening to Jesus. You're not paying the least bit of attention to Him. He said, put on the armor, take up the sword. You got a battle to fight. There's an old serpent known as the devil, Satan. And he desires to sift you. And what's the only weapon? Now listen to me. What's the only weapon in the Bible that says will drive Satan away? It's this precious book right here. And what do we know the least about in these days? This precious book. So are we prepared? No, we're not. This book should be something that you live, breathe, dine on, live in every day of your life so you can wield the sword against the wiles of the devil. Hannah and Elkanah dropped their boy off at a dangerous place. But I want you to see something. We're gonna go back in just a few moments and talk about the evil of the wickedness of the sons of Eli. But I want you to see something in this passage of Scripture. Look down to verse 20, please. All right, let's go back to verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. By the way, that was three times a year, not once a year. We kind of get the indication she only came up once a year. But the men were to come to the tabernacle three times a year to celebrate Passover and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Lights. They were to come. They were to be a part of the worship of Jehovah at the tabernacle. And Hannah came up each time with them because she was going to check on her boy. She was still involved in his life. Notice, please. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went home to their house, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Twice in this passage of Scripture, it's interesting that Samuel's outer clothing is mentioned. Did you see that? What was he wearing when she arrived? An ephod. It's interesting that ephod and coat are mentioned here. And the word coat there, if you go back to other passages in Exodus, is the same word that's used for the ephod that the high priest wore. Same word in the Hebrew. And we know from the Old Testament Pentateuch that Phinehas' mother made him his high priestly garment. That was permissible. He was wearing what his mother had made for him so he could serve whom? Serve God. That ephod that he was wearing was what his mother had made for him. And she brought that little coat, and that coat was the ephod. It's two parts. There was the outer coat, and then there was the ephod that went over top of that. And on the ephod, they would hang the breastplate where the Urim and the Thummim were located. Two special stones that reflected colors that showed God's responses to questions that were asked him. Samuel was wearing the coat of a priest as a child. And his mother made that clothing for him. She was fully invested in his ministry. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The care, let me tell you something. She didn't have a Walmart to go to and buy material. Okay? She didn't go to Joann's Fabrics. Yeah, I need to get a bolt of cloth here. I got to make another outer coat and an ephod for my son. No, she had to make it all by hand. She had to weave every bit of it. How long do you think that took her? She weaved it because she was invested in that boy's future. She was invested because she had lent him back to the Lord. And when she lent him back in good shape. Isn't that wonderful? That's the picture that's given. When she lent him to the Lord, she lent him back in good shape. He was ready to serve. You see the picture of Samuel and you see the picture of Eli's boys. Could there be a greater contrast in one passage of Scripture? What's the difference? Prayer and parenting. Prayer and parenting. That's the difference. There was no prayer. There was very little parenting that was issued by Eli. And as a result, God said, I'm going to just take them off. He reported that. He sent an unnamed prophet to Eli to give him the news that he was going to be dead the next day. And not only that, God appeared to Samuel in a dream and told him the same thing, what he was going to do. Can you imagine unloading all of that on a young boy? God did. He was ready to receive it. I want us to know, folks, that he was in a dangerous place. Just like the bird sitting on top of the pole, chirping away, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. But she wasn't. And the video shows the snake with the bird in its mouth making it all the way down the pole to devour it. Listen, folks, we live in a dangerous place. Even though we have the God of all the universe, whom we call our Savior, whom we call Jehovah, whom we call the Lord of hosts, and all the wonderful names that are mentioned, we belong to Him. He still has warned us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The snake is coming. The snake is coming. He's probably here with us today. I've done this through the years. Lord, as I pray before I get up here to speak, Lord, would you defeat the devil and would you put a hedge around the people of Grace Bible Church as we've gathered to worship so Satan doesn't get any of them. It's been my prayer. Dr. Hobbs is the one that said that. Whenever, before you get up and preach, Todd, you make sure you pray that the devil is put at bay by God because he's here. He's here. We don't think that way, do we? He was in the upper room with Jesus, and he was in that tabernacle, lurking. Oh, how we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, but also how we need to get in there and we need to put on the armor, the whole armor of God, and get busy. Learn how to use the sword, amen? The sword of the Spirit. You got to learn how to use it.
Well, I'm not a violent person.
I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm talking about doing a fight with the devil. And you have to do that on your knees. You got to do that on your knees. You got to get serious. Or you're going to lose the battle. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it's so straightforward. so clear. We haven't even gotten into the point of how Eli's sons made a mockery of the sacrifice. The fat, which was to be the gift to God, it was to be consumed for God. That was his part. That was the best part. They ordered that the fat be delivered to them cooked rather than to God, making a mockery of the sacrifices. Lord, they were pure out evil. They knew not thee, and they grew up in the tabernacle, dangerous place. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to realize that wherever we go as Christians, there's also the presence of the evil one. There is also that understanding that he would desire to trip us up. He's called in the book of Revelation, you've told us, dear Father, he's called the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of Christians. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand what we're up against. Help us not to be naive. Help us not to be careless. Help us not to understand and realize his presence. And I pray, Father, that you would help our young people. Lord, deliver them from the hands of Satan. Deliver them from the deception of this world and of the flesh. It's very strong. And I pray that you would help us to put on the whole armor of God, that we'll take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, have our loins girded about with truth, and have the sword of the Spirit so we can be ready to do your work in this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.